Hi, welcome to another inspirational message by Pastor Alex Pappas, Senior Pastor at Oceans Unite Christian Center.
We know that God is a deliverer. I mean, if there's one thing that is so clear from Scripture, it's that God is a God of deliverance. He brings us out of bondage. In fact, just our salvation is being brought out of bondage into light, into life. But even in our walks with God, we see how God will deliver us from all kinds of different things. I don't know about you, but when I got saved, you know, I remember, getting saved and being very fervent, very excited about the things of God. But I was extremely aware of the fact that the enemy was still really attacking me. And I was kind of like, in the beginning, I was even questioning, like, you know, is the demon busy operating or what's happening here? Because I've got to make sure that nothing like that's going on. And I would pray in the beginning. I would have lots of thoughts that would come into my mind that weren't good. And it was a struggle. It was a real, real struggle. And as the years have gone by, and we're talking about now 24 years ago, 1997, when this all began in a real intense way for me. And I remember, you know, looking back now, I kind of like, you know, the journey's taken me to a place where things are very different. It's not that the enemy doesn't attack. He attacks, absolutely, but it's a different kind of attack. And I think the reason why that happens to us is because there are certain things in the journey that we get deliverance from, number one. And then there are certain things that you just begin to overcome. You become stronger. If you've been born again for 20 years and you're still in the same place you were 20 years ago, I want you to know something is wrong. You should be delivered after many years of struggling, or even many months of struggling with something. I want you to know that God desperately wants for you to walk in the deliverance that He paid for you. We see the fullness of this in the life of Jesus. Jesus comes on the scene, and you know, He came to set the captive free. You know, He came to set at liberty those who are oppressed. You know, the Lord came and he wants us to be free. And in fact, in the ministry of Jesus specifically, we see at least a third of His ministry, no less than that, was the ministry of deliverance. In other words, dealing with the demonic. Now, in your mind, you'll have two struggles, two battles. The one will be with the enemy and the devil and demons, and we can call them, you know, sometimes I'll say the devil, but I'm speaking about the devil being demons, not necessarily Satan himself as an entity. So if you hear me say the devil's coming against you, I don't necessarily mean that Satan himself came into your room. Is that okay? I'm talking about like him and his minions, you know, the devil and his demons. And we could really have a great discussion about the demonic, where demons come from and all that good stuff. Get into the book of Peter and the book of Jude and discuss what happened to angels that did not keep their proper domain and they've been put into a specific place right now. And how did those angels get there, and what did they do, and why did they do it, and where do demons come from? But we'll keep that for another day. Okay? Today I want to talk to you about dealing with the enemy in a way that we know how to do, or we know what to do, but I think sometimes we just don't do it. And there are many factors for that. The other thing that you'll have to deal with in your mind is your mind. And that's sometimes really challenging. As much as you can bind and cast out the devil, you cannot do that with your own self. You can try, but you're not going to get anywhere. What I mean by that is sometimes dealing with our mind requires us to actually make decisions and do things that will cause change to take place. But what I really want to focus on tonight is the fact that many people will have deliverance. Maybe you're sitting here and you've had deliverance. You'll come to church, the power of God's in the place, we're worshiping, the presence of the Lord is here, the message goes out. Maybe you got prayed for, maybe God touched you in your seat, but you got deliverance. And you walk out of here and you feel free. Have you ever had that? Has anybody in this place ever experienced that before? And then 2 weeks later, all of a sudden, the same thing that was affecting you is affecting you now again. And somehow you've managed to fall back into a rut. Sometimes it'll be extremely subtle. What I mean by that is it'll be a suggestion. In other words, let's just use, for example, let's just use addiction as an example. Now, you know, I'm not going to get into a debate about things that are, you know, necessarily chemical or, you know, natural. We're talking about a spiritual side. You know, we know that sickness, you know, sickness can be a spirit. There's a spirit of infirmity, but sometimes if I get a cold, I don't think it was really the devil. He might have had something to do with it, but I can't really cast, you know, it's just not the devil. It's just a cold. You know what I mean? Okay, so what I'm trying to say is you must understand in the context of what I'm talking about, there is definitely spiritual forces that will do things to you like infirmity, like depression, like addiction. And so there can be many other things. When we talk about addiction, there's an incredible variety of things. We can talk about all kinds of addictions. Addictions with your body, addictions with substances, all kinds of addictions. Addictions with pornography. There's many things that you can end up falling back into. Now, as I said, you'll go to church or you'll pray and seek the Lord. You may even have an intense deliverance where a demonic spirit literally physically leaves your body and screams out of you. There can be many different forms of deliverance. Sometimes deliverance is simply just raising your hands, surrendering to the Lord, and in that moment the presence of God comes on you and you feel free. You can feel something is left that's not the same anymore. And you're able to walk away and you're able to be free. You walk away, you're free, you feel great, you feel free, you feel wonderful. And then a few weeks later, as I said, something begins to happen. Something begins to go wrong. It's like all of a sudden you feel like, you know, the same thing, this tendencies or urges or suggestions begin to come to you and you want to fight it, but you're just not quite sure. And you end up sort of maybe just surrendering a little bit, but not so much. And then you surrender a little bit more or someone says something to you. Someone says something to you and you feel those words attack you and initially you're like, no, I'm not going to accept it, but it kind of gets into your heart a little bit and you're starting to feel a little bit more and then you go think about it and while you're thinking about it, it just begins to consume you and then this heaviness comes over you and then you find yourself in the same state that you were before you got delivered. Does anybody know what I'm talking about? That happens to us in our journey. Now that does not necessarily mean that you are now demon possessed, but I want to let you know that there is a very good chance that a demon spirit is involved in what's taking place in you right now. You see, let me explain something to you. I heard this and it was very powerful. I can't remember if I told you this or not, so if you have heard it before, you're lucky, you're going to hear it again. Okay? If you've never heard it, you know, whatever, okay? So, a demon spirit can operate in your life like this. Let's say I have a house, and I invite someone to come and rent a room in my house. Does he own the house? No, but he has access to the house. He moves around the house. He goes into the kitchen, even though he shouldn't, and he takes a sandwich, and he moves around. He uses the bathroom. You know, he has access to the house. At any point, does the house belong to him? That's how an evil spirit works when you allow him to have a place in your life. But you're still the owner of the house, but he has a place, so he's able to operate. Does that make sense? There are many things that we have decided, oh, the demon can't be with a Christian, and that doesn't work that way. A demon can absolutely attack you. In fact, the Bible tells us that even when he's left you, I want you to know he's coming back. So let's examine this morning. Why is that a problem for me? Let me show you what I'm talking about. Now, please, I have to say this to just bring a quick balance. Not everything is a demon. You have to deal with your flesh. But I want you to know the devil knows the fleshly nature really well. So he will attack you in that area. Is that okay? Also remember this before I read this. A demon spirit is a person. He is a person. God is a spirit, but he's a person. He's a being. Angels are spirits, but they are a being. Demons are spirits, but they are a being. They are people, but they just don't have a body. So oftentimes when you hear thoughts or something comes to you and it sounds like someone is talking to you, I want you to know someone is talking to you. You've just got to figure out whose voice it is. Man, I tell you, there are times when a voice starts speaking to me and then I do this. I go, God, is that you? And in the way that I know is that like, it's like, there's no way I would ever think anything so good. Or there's no way I could think that way. There's no way that that thought, that idea, there's no way, that's not me. I recognize me. I know me. But that that just came, that wasn't me. The same way that suggestions and the voice of the enemy comes, you must understand that it's not you when it comes. You must also be very careful that the enemy doesn't try to convince you that it is you. And then there are times where it's you too, but you generally will not talk to yourself the same way that the other two voices will. Now, Jesus said something very profound, and we need to look a little bit deeper at this. He says this, when an unclean spirit goes out of a man, let's go to Luke 11:24. Sorry for those of you that want to follow. Luke 11:24. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places. Now watch, because this is very important. You must understand that a demon spirit will not find rest unless he is infiltrating and operating through a person. Because outside of a person, he has no authority. I'm going to say that again. Outside of a person, he has no authority. He can do nothing unless he uses people. So the only time he finds rest or peace is when he's in something operating through them in the natural. Come on, is everybody okay? That's not complicated, okay? He goes through dry places. So when an unclean spirit comes out of a man, he goes through dry places. And he goes to seek rest. But he'll never find any. The Bible says, finding none. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Let's stop there. I want you to know something, that when you've been delivered, you must understand that whatever you were delivered from will try and come back. The enemy will try and come back. Why? Because you're an easy target as far as he's concerned. Why? Because he knows you. If an evil spirit or a tendency or a weakness or something that you know has been a problem in your life, maybe even since you were a child, is still there, you must understand that whatever it is that's caused that knows you well. And so it's easier for them to find rest by going back to the place that they came from. It's easier to go back there because I know exactly what to say. I know exactly what to do with Naomi. I know if I press her, yeah. If I push her, yeah. If when she's tired, I do this to her or suggest this to her, I'm going to get her mind spinning. I'm going to get her head thinking and she's going to begin to submit to it. That's what the enemy will do. But I want to show you something. You see, if he feels he's not going to come right, watch what he does. He says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he finds it swept and put in order. Look at that. I want you to see the person is delivered. The person is in order. But he's going to come back because he has one mission: to kill, steal, and destroy. Then he goes, watch this. Then he goes with him and he takes seven other spirits more wicked. Everybody say more wicked. So I want you to know, when he comes back, he sees everything's in order. He knows it's maybe not going to be as easy as last time because maybe now you're praying a little bit more. Maybe you're trusting God a little bit more. So he goes and he says, listen, guys, I know this guy. I know how to get him. I'm telling you, if you come with me, we'll be able to infiltrate him and you're going to have a place that you can work and operate through. Oh, you know, let's go because I've been in a dry place too. So they come. But now there's not only the one, but there's seven more wicked. And you don't understand why it doesn't seem to be getting easier, it seems to be getting harder. Well, now you know why. Because he's brought his friends that are 7 times more wicked. And so they will do everything they can to once again use your life to bring you to do 2 things. To break you down and to build you up. To break you down on God's side and in life, and to build you up with all their wickedness, with all their evil, with all their plans. They need a host. They need someone to operate through. And so they do that. That's what they do with us. That's what they do with us. Are you guys with me? But don't worry, guys. There's hope. Amen. The good news is if the devil's hassling you, there must be a reason for it. Okay? And that's because God has a plan for you. You see, the one thing that the enemy is terribly afraid of is if you will find out who you are in Christ and begin to really take a hold of that, he knows he's going to be in a little bit of trouble. I just want to read one more thing, and I know I've read this already, but I need to overemphasize this point. You see, it says there at the end of verse 26 in the B part, it says, "And the last state of the man is worse than the first." In other words, when you end up submitting to the enemy after he's come back, that the state that you're in now, because there's more of an attack, there's more of oppression, there's more of what the enemy is doing against you, that situation is now even more intense than what it was before. So what do we do? Well, I'm so glad you're asking so many questions this evening. Now, please, I want to say this, and it's important. I'm not talking necessarily here about demon possession, but I want you to know that the enemy will come and he will try and attack you and attack you and attack you to the point where he can get as much control of you as he can. Okay, now, let's go to James 4, verse number 7. James 4, verse number 7. God has been so good. Let's now get back to the beginning of the story before the devil comes back with his friends. Okay? You have now been delivered. God has done what he said in his word he would do. He offers you and touches you. He delivers you. He sets you free. He encounters you with his presence. He cleans you up. He fills you up. And you're standing free. And now you go home. And as you get home, life begins to happen. Things begin to happen again. And I want you to see what you need to do when the enemy comes. It's not that complicated. James 4, verse 7, it doesn't seem that complicated. James 4, 7 says, therefore, everybody say therefore. Submit to God. Key number one. The first thing you have to do in order for you to walk in deliverance is submit to God. We have to submit to him. We have to submit to his word. We have to submit to his ways. You see, the only truth is his truth, not our truth, how we perceive things to be. The only truth is his truth. You can't reason with God or the devil, whoever you're arguing with in your head, about the fact that you have a right to continue to feel the way that you do. You can't argue with him and fight with him to justify yourself because somebody attacked you, because somebody said something to you, because you feel something again. And I'm not suggesting that it's easy. It's not easy. But what it is you have to understand that it's not the truth. Because God's word is the only truth. So you have to submit to God. You have to submit to the truth. But it's not even the end. That's just the beginning, because it says, therefore, submit to God. And then look, the next word that comes up is resist the devil. In other words, when those thoughts come, when that suggestion comes, when the enemy attacks you, you have to resist him. And that resisting means that you have to do everything in your power to say to the devil, no, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not submitting to you. When he brings suggestions, when he brings thoughts, when he brings that addiction before you again, the only way out, the devil says, this is the only way out. This is the only way you're going to feel better. You need to say, no, that's not what God says. God says that he will provide for me. He'll never leave me. He'll never forsake me. You have to begin to speak what God says and submit to God, resist the devil. You see, what will happen is he'll go. Let's say you get it right. Let's say I'm sitting at home. The enemy comes and begins to attack me. And I say, listen, devil, I'm not submitting to you today. In the name of Jesus, Father, I thank you that I am yours, that you are my provider. Lord, that you said that there's not one good thing that I'll not have, that you'll provide it all. I give you thanks, Lord. I don't care what you say, devil. I thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. You don't even have to pay attention to him, to be honest. You don't even have to have a conversation with him. Because the reality is, if you're busy resisting him, what he's going to do is he's going to leave. But I want you to see something, because when he leaves, he goes. And he doesn't find rest. And he comes back again. And when he comes back again, he's going to go, let me see. Let me see. Let me see how she's doing. I wonder if there's anything. Let me press that button right there. Let me try that over there. And he's going to poke at you. And he's going to have a go at you. And you have to do this. Let me get a guy. Mike, come here quickly. Okay. I want you to kind of like poke me, but if you poke me hard, I'm going to hurt you, okay? So just poke me, okay? You have to resist. When he comes, you have to resist. You have to resist him. Every time he attacks you, you have to resist him. Eventually, he's going to go, this is a waste of time, and he's going to end up going away. Listen to me. Now watch. You may make a mistake. You may, come here, Mike. He may poke you, and eventually you're like, I just can't anymore, Lord. And you start to go down, and now he thinks he's got you. So kind of put your hand on my shoulder, okay? And now he thinks he's got you. And you may even make a little mistake. You may kind of go back to something that you started or whatever. But at that point, you're beginning to realize that, listen, I don't have to have this. This doesn't have to be my portion. And you submit to God again. And as you begin to do that again, you must understand, they can only go so long in a dry place. They can only go so long in a place where they find no rest. It can only be so long. That thing you struggled with for 15 years, I want you to know that if you keep on resisting, if you keep on resisting, the day will come when that devil will say, listen, this isn't working anymore. I've got to go somewhere else. And he will never return to you. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And the Bible's clear. He will flee. He will go. In fact, the word flee there really suggests that he's running out of there. He hasn't got a chance, because eventually you must understand that with the resisting and the resisting and the resisting, what ends up happening is he can't take it anymore. So he has to go. That's how it works. That's how you get the victory. You have to submit to God. You have to resist the devil, and he will flee. The Bible is very clear. In 1 Peter 5, verse number 8, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks around like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him. Everybody say, resist him. Come on, say it again. Listen, you need to know he's like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. I said to you last week, he's like a prosecutor. That word adversary, he's like a prosecutor. He's standing there saying, listen, because of this, I have a right to attack him. Because of this, you can't bless him. Because of this, we're going to hold him back. But what happens is, as you begin to submit, as you begin to resist, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world, I want you to know that the day will come where you will be delivered completely. Now, what do you need to overcome? What do you need to be able to resist? Let me explain it to you. You need great grace. He will give you that great grace. But the only way you will begin to get that great grace is when you know him. The more you know him, the more grace is released to you. When he becomes your deliverer and that becomes real to you and you begin to walk in that, grace is released. Listen, there are people in the room, you know what I'm talking about. You may have suffered in an area before. I would say that everyone in this room has at least one thing that God has delivered you from that you no longer struggle with at all? Can I see a hand of just someone that says, that's me. Okay. I want you to know that you were there. You did it. You resisted. You resisted. And what happened? Don't you find that now it's not so hard? Why? Because you have great grace. You have realized that He delivered you, that He's your deliverer. He has delivered you from that area. Don't worry, I'm going to get into it in just a minute. We're going to break it down even more. But I need you to understand this first. You see, I've realized that the more I study the Word, the more I draw close to God, that everything is completely dependent on my relationship with Him. My success is conditional to my relationship. Everything has already been done. Everything has already been paid for. Everything has already been provided. But my relationship with Him will dictate everything I will walk through. And the closer I get to Him, the more I get close to Him, the more I draw near to Him, the more I will overcome. You will overcome more and more and more because you will be able to resist more and more and more. But it has to be a decision, guys. It has to be something you start. So the battle is primarily in the mind. Do you all agree? Even if it's a fleshly thing that we do, it's in the mind. So we need to understand, how do we deal with the mind and what is the enemy trying to do? Let's take a look. Are you all okay? Saturday night, it's Vera Beach. Amen. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 4. We're going to talk about three areas of attack, or three ways the enemy will attack your mind. First, we need to understand 2 Corinthians 10, verse number 4. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty. The word mighty, there's the word power in God. In other words, in Christ, in God, the weapons of our warfare, I want you to know they are powerful. That what is available to you as a Christian is mighty, it's powerful. You can strike the enemy with God's power when you are walking with Him. Amen? But they are not carnal. These weapons do not work in the natural. They work in the realm of the spirit. They come from understanding and operating with spiritual things. Are you with me? All right. They are not carnal. They are mighty in God. Now watch. The first thing that they do is they pull down strongholds. So the weapons of our warfare are not mighty, but not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds. You see, a stronghold is like a fortress. It's like a fortress. It's like a prison that is established in your mind. Think about what I've been talking to you about. You see, a stronghold is when the enemy has already got a place where he knows where he can operate from. Just like the room I described to you in the house. That's exactly what a stronghold is. You have to strip him, kick him out, and tell him where to get off. That's the only way he will end up leaving. And part of that is going to be resisting. You will have to resist. You will have to resist those urges. You will have to resist those things. And don't listen to the world that says, oh, it's okay, just carry on. You're still going to heaven anyway. Because you will never be free. You will never have joy. You will never walk in peace. And the enemy's plan for you is destruction. The Greek word for pulling down, in other words, pulling down strongholds. I've practiced this so many times. My wife is laughing. In the car, yeah, I was saying the words over and over. Catharsis, there we go. It's the Greek word catharsis. I'm sorry, I have to do this. Is that okay? Like, I have to get there, okay? The Greek word for pulling down is catharsis, and it's actually really powerful because it means tearing down. Watch this. Disabling. And I spoke to my father, who's Greek, and immediately the thing when I said, what does catharsis mean? I didn't say it as beautifully as that. I said it in another way. He rebuked me and said, that's not how you say it. You say it like this. And he said what it means is to clean up. To clean up. So in other words, if there's a stronghold that's been built, you need to get in there and clean it up. Get rid of everything. Listen, if there is something that is a trigger or a place that allows you to end up going into that thing again, make sure you don't do it. Make sure you don't allow yourself. If your problem is an individual, you need to get away from that individual. You need to not spend too much time with that individual until you're strong enough. Is that okay? If your problem is that you're going to go somewhere and you're going to get that place, and when you get there, there's a temptation, guess what? Don't go there. You got to clean up that stronghold. You got to empty out that stronghold. Is that okay? And it's a beautiful word because it says that we must pull down these strongholds. In other words, we must clean them up. We must get rid of them. We must completely tear them down, disable them. Then he says, casting down arguments. You see, this is where it starts to get really interesting. In the King James Version, in the old days, that would say the word vain imaginations. Vain imaginations. But the translators have made it more simple for us, because simply what it means is arguments. It means arguments. In other words, what it's really saying when it says arguments is it's the Greek word logismos. And the Greek word logismos is thoughts, reasoning, wisdom. In other words, you can't justify it. Every thought, every suggestion, every attack. If you suffer with rejection, if someone gives you rejection, you can't submit to it. You have to resist it. You have to speak what God says about you, that he knew you before you even formed in your mother's womb. He ordained you for such a time as this. Don't listen to the enemy. Don't submit to it. Don't begin to argue. Don't begin to reason. Don't begin to accept it. Are you with me? And actually, the word there is the same word, but it's more of a verb. So it's even more of an expressive word in the sense of, it says, it's the word kathareo, which basically is taken from the same word, but it means to do away with or to take down, to bring down. So it's really the same word, but in the verb sense. In other words, what I love about a verb is that it's a doing word, which means I have to physically do something with that argument. I have to physically do something with that suggestion. I have to physically do something with that wisdom, with that thought that comes, with that reasoning that the world tries to explain to me. And the only thing that I have to do with it is tear it down. Get rid of it. Cast it out. Get rid of it. I don't accept it. I don't submit to it. It's not a part of me. Are you with me? The battle's up here. I'm getting very excited. I'm up and down a lot. And now it gets really exciting for me. Every high thing that exalts itself, watch, against the what? Bam. Every thought, everything that tries to exalt itself against the knowledge of God. Why? Because as soon as you submit to anything that's contrary to who God is, you cannot have victory. But if you submit to God, resist the devil, you are calling out to him the way that he is. He is God. He is your healer. He is your deliverer. And the enemy will do everything he can to cause you to not get closer, draw closer, get into more of an intimate relationship with God. He will do everything he can to prevent you from stepping into that. That's what he wants so desperately. Bring every thought captive to the obedience of God. So he says, bring, cast down arguments and every high thing, everything that exalts itself, everything that desires to place itself above God. Against the knowledge of God. That's how we have victory. That's how we walk in victory. Now think about what I've just read to you. These things come against the knowledge of God. The Bible says We have to resist the devil. But before it says resist the devil, it says submit to God. You have to know who you're submitting to. You have to know what he has available to you and for you. And when you do that, you are empowered with what? Grace. To do what? To overcome. But you won't have that overcoming grace unless you know who he is. You can't receive grace from something that you do not believe. You have to have faith. You have to believe. Don't think that God can't do it for you. He can, but he needs you to partner with him and resist the devil. You have to resist. My wife and I had a pretty challenging thing today that happened to us. And it was really difficult for me to even focus for tonight. And I hate it when that happens because I really dedicate the whole of Saturday just to prayer and the word. You know, I prepare in the week, but on Saturdays I just like to go into my study and just spend the whole day there. I'll come out for lunch and that's about it. If it's nice. Otherwise, you know, anyway, okay. So anyway, and, you know, and today was hard. I was struggling and just not getting, you know, and I realized that that's exactly how the enemy works. He wants to distract you. He wants to put things into your mind, suggestions into your mind to try and affect you so that you won't do what you're supposed to do for God. Try and get you to speak and agree with what the world says or what the enemy says. You know, it's amazing. I'm sitting there thinking and I'm like, I want to say something because I'm so mad or whatever. And I want to say it. And I'm thinking, but if I say that, I know I'm giving the enemy power. And I'm thinking, but that's not what God told me. God said this to me. So even though in the situation right now, this is not at all what I think or feel, I'm going to say what God says. I can't feel it. I'm not experiencing it right now, but I'm still going to say what he says because his word is true. And I have a knowledge of who he is. And I'm not going to allow the enemy to bring anything contrary to that knowledge. Is that okay? There are people in this room that have walked with things for a very long time. If you're watching online, if you've walked with a situation, with a thing in your life, and you say to yourself, man, can't I be delivered this thing? I want you to know that you probably have been several times. Because God is a deliverer. But what you have to do is every time he comes back, the devil, you have to resist him. You have to submit to God and you have to resist him. And when you resist him, when you take every thought captive to the obedience of God, when you take every thought captive, when you cast down vain imaginations or anything that the enemy suggests, whatever the enemy brings, you cast it down, every thought, every stronghold, you resist it, you just don't accept it. Why? Because it's not what God says. It's not who God says I am. I'm not going to submit to this. I want you to know that devil might plague you for a little while. He might attack you a little bit longer. You might get those same feelings that you had before again, because it's real, it's in you, it's your body has memory, the same way you have muscle memory, your whole body, your spirit, everything has memory, it remembers, so that thing's picking at you, but you haven't lost the battle yet, just resist him, submit to God, resist him, and I want you to know that he will flee, he will go, he will leave you, he will go. Can somebody get on their feet and give the Lord a big clap and shout? It's a promise. It's a promise in his word. Submit to God. Resist the devil. And he will flee. He will leave. He will leave. It is your assurance. The Lord Jesus Christ paid a price for you to walk in deliverance. You do not have to walk in bondage. You do not have to be caught up in all kinds of bondage and depression and oppression and sickness and whatever else he tries to do. I want to challenge you tonight in this place. Begin to cry out to God right now, right there where you are. Begin to cry out to him. You know what that situation is. Whatever it is that's held you back, whatever it is that's come against you, tonight in this place, tell the devil to get lost. Tell the devil to get out. Tell the devil you've had enough. You've had enough of him. Tonight you're going to resist him. Tonight you're going to submit to God. You're going to submit to his ways. You're going to turn from that sin. You're going to turn from that situation, that thing that's held you back, that thing that's kept you down. Tonight's the night.
You're going to resist him, and he's never going to have a right to attack you again. And if he comes again, you know what to do. Tonight in this place, Father, I give you thanks and praise and all the glory and honor. And I ask right now, Lord, that you will just send your fire into this place, and every foul spirit, every demonic spirit that has come to kill, steal, and destroy from every person in this place, I take authority over you now, and I break your power and command you to go in Jesus' name, because the anointing breaks the yoke, and the Holy Spirit is in this place, and you must go. You must submit to his word. You must leave now in Jesus' mighty name. All you have to do, church, is submit. Submit yourself to him. Submit yourself to him. Tell him right now, Lord, here I am. I submit to you. I give my life to you. I give my family to you. I give my heart to you. I give my business to you. I give my relationship with to you. I give my children to you in the name of Jesus. And I take authority over the devil now in that area and break his power. We resist you, Satan. We resist you, devil, in the name of Jesus. Father, we give you thanks. Oh, we give you thanks. Oh, we give you thanks. Come on, let's give him praise. Come on, somebody give the Lord a shout in this place. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Sit down quickly. I want to tell you something. There are people sitting here, and the devil's telling you this. You have nothing to shout about. I heard him say to you, you have nothing to shout about. And when he says that to you, shout louder. Shout harder. Resist him. Resist his suggestions. Resist his words. Tell him what you know about him to be true. He is a liar. He's a liar. He's a snake. He's a serpent. He's a deceiver. And he's bruised under our feet. Come on. In the name of Jesus, you are a conqueror. You are called to overcome. You are called to walk in his light. You are called to walk in victory. Hallelujah. 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 Amen. Amen. Take your seat. Amen. God is good, guys. He is so good. He is so good. Now, you see, the reason you have nothing to shout about is because you don't believe. The reason why you sit and you feel so like it doesn't make any sense is because you don't have knowledge of who he is. You see, the only reason why you can jump up and shout is because you know that he's good. Amen. Right? You know that he's good. And the Bible says that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Sir, your life is going to change. Your life is going to change. The turnaround starts tonight. And I prophesy to you tonight in the mighty name of Jesus. For I see how the enemy came to kill, steal, and destroy. It's been a difficult road. It's been a tough time for you. But tonight, things are about to change. And you know why? Because tonight you said, Lord, I submit. Lord, I choose to resist. And I want you to know that the Lord sees your heart. And anybody else that agrees that they take this for themselves too. But I want you to know that the Lord has seen you. I know that he has seen you. And he has heard you. And things are about to change. There is a great turnaround coming. There's a great turnaround. Like things were going in this direction, God's going to turn it around and take it in a completely new direction. And there'll be great healing and there'll be great deliverance for you and for your household. And listen, the Lord says you're going to enter into a season where the difficulty, that the struggle is coming to an end. It's coming to an end. You are entering a season of rest right now in the name of Jesus. And I give you thanks for it, Father. I give you thanks for it, Lord. Oh, and I take that word for myself. I thank you, Lord. I know you saw me tonight. I know you heard me tonight when I said no more. No more devil. No more devil. I submit to God. I resist you in the name of Jesus. 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 Lord, we just worship you in this place. We honor you in this place. We give thanks in this place. Regardless of how we feel, because we know that you are good. And it's your goodness, Lord, that will turn us at every corner, that will lead us back to you. It's your goodness, Lord, that delivers us, that touches us, that restores us, that gives us peace. It's your goodness, Father. And I'm so grateful. So grateful that we know you. And so right now, Holy Spirit, I ask that you will just touch your people. Lord, you've heard them cry out. You've heard them rejoice. Holy Spirit, just fill them up right now. Anyone that wants to just receive from him, just raise your hands. Just receive now. Just fill them, Holy Spirit. You're already here. You're already moving. I don't even need to ask, but I ask anyway. Just do it for your glory, Lord, in their lives. You know their needs. You know their hurts. You know their pains. You know their struggles. And you are our comforter, Holy Spirit. So comfort them now. Comfort them right now, Lord. We just love you so much, Father. We're just so grateful to you, Lord. Lord, I'm so thankful to be right here, right now. There's nowhere else I'd rather be right now than here with you, Lord. I'm so grateful. Just fill this place. Just fill this place, Lord. These are your precious people that you love so much. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And those watching online, just fill them now, Lord. Right there in their living room, in their bedroom, wherever they are, just fill them up, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Submit to you, Lord. We will always resist. And you will give us rest. You will give us peace. You are our comforter. You are our deliverer. You are our healer. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father. And so tonight in this place, we just honor you and thank you and praise you. I pray that the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that the love of the Father and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with each and every one of you tonight in this place. You will not leave here the same way. You are armed and dangerous because you have the word in you. You can never be the same again. Thank you, Father. In Jesus' precious name. Amen. Can we give the Lord a big clap? Amen. Come on, let's give the Lord a big clap and a shout in this place. Come on, shout like you've been set free from something tonight. Shout like you've been delivered from something tonight. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. God bless you guys. Thank you so much for coming out. I know we want to just keep on going. Amen. But I want you to know that God has been in this place. He has touched you. He's in here. You walk out of this place tonight free. The yoke is broken. You have been delivered. Take a hold of it. Take a hold of his word. And every time the enemy comes back, just tell him where to get off. Just tell him you've had enough of him. Go in the peace of God. We love you and we'll see you tomorrow.
We hope you enjoyed today's teaching. For more teaching like this and other material, please visit our website at www.oceansunite.com.